On this Tuesday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you. A lot of football, reacting to the Monday night game, all the drama, the Tua injury, plenty to chat about. As right now, we welcome aboard a friend of the program, and that is Bobby Carpenter, NFL analyst, seven-year NFL linebacker, star at Ohio State in the National Football League. He joins us now. Hey, Bobby, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, Bobby?
Taz, Moose, always a pleasure, gentlemen.
How are you doing, Bobby? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm good. Just the point in the year, you know, you're getting around the holidays, all the travel, working, you know, TV, radio, it's a little bit of a grind, but I guess it's nothing relative to playing, but you just get a little tired, get a little cold at this point in the year.
No, I can understand it. You know, Bobby, we were having a good conversation in terms of MVP in the National Football League, right? Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson. Right now, who would you give your MVP vote to?
You know, surprisingly, I did not think I would be saying this at the beginning of the year because I thought he had a lot of work to do, a lot of room to grow. But, you know, you would have to argue that it's Lamar Jackson. I think that with what he's been able to do, they've built an offense around him, you know, with some of the unique personnel groupings. He had three tight ends on the field a lot. But his ability to just change the game with his legs is something that, you know, people say you haven't seen since like a Michael Vick, maybe a Randall Cunningham. You know, but I would argue, like, he's just as fast, if not maybe even more elusive than those guys, but he's bigger and he's strong. And so he pulls through tackles. Rarely do you see guys get a solid hit on him. You know, he gets out of bounds. He's got great top-end speed. And then what's probably most impressive is, you know, he throws the football with pretty great and impressive touch. Like, he may not necessarily have that cannon of an arm and be able to push the ball, like, on a rope outside the numbers, but with what he does in their play-action game and his ability to just flip his wrist and drop a ball in the bucket, like, it's pretty impressive. And I didn't think he'd be this far in his development this early in his career.
Yeah, one more thing, Bobby, if you don't mind, on Lamar Jackson, because Moose and I were talking about last week and today a little bit too. Speak on it from a defensive player perspective, or bring us in like a room of with a defensive coordinator. How difficult it is to prepare for Lamar Jackson, because he's kind of unpredictable out there once he takes that snap.
Yeah, and so, you know, typically the verbiage you'll hear people use is we got to spy him, which means in coverage, you know, you're going to have one guy that's locked on to making sure that if he scrambles, you're going to be able to chase him down when he breaks the pocket. And so what that does defensively, it limits the coverage you can run. It simplifies it for the quarterback, so it's a huge advantage for him. But the problem is with that spy, and, you know, my rookie year I did this. We played the Falcons against Michael Vick. Like, I mean, I was paranoid all game and ended up doing a pretty decent job on him. But, you know, you want to eliminate the space and close down to him. But Michael Vick was, you know, 5'11", a smaller dude. And
right.
So I was like, if I can just get my arms on him and wrap his legs, he'll be done. And so it's tough to close down on a guy like that. But if you get to him, you're good. But you watch Lamar Jackson, he's the fastest guy on the field. And then you'll see guys try to hit him with an arm tackle. And I'm watching him pull through it. And so you look at the guys you could potentially spy him with. There may only be two or three guys in the NFL that are capable of getting there, and then even once they get there, being able to tackle him and bring him to the ground. And so it's a very, very precarious situation. Whenever you play him now, you're probably going to have to play a lot of zone to make sure everybody has their eyes back, and you're basically going to be giving up 5 yards most of the time because, you know, there's no way that you're going to be able to get there when he breaks the pocket, before he picks up at least a little bit of a chunk of yardage.
Bobby, when you look at this Pats offense right now, Brady has echoed, you know, and certainly he's frustrated, a little bit concerned. Are you frustrated? Are you concerned when you look at this, what this Patriot team offensively is right now?
Yeah, you know, they've struggled a little bit, and they're getting wins, and they're kind of ugly. But you have to remember, if you go back, you know, this isn't always, you know, the past 10 years how the Pats offense has looked. Everybody remembers kind of Randy Moss on and how they've always been. But if you look how they won their first three Super Bowls, they were a team that really played great complementary football. Like, they weren't great on offense. They weren't great on defense. Their rankings were in, like, the low teens for both. But they played a really good game on both sides of the ball together. And so they didn't necessarily score a lot of points, but they always made sure that their defense was in good field position, didn't necessarily turn the football over. And so I look at this Pats team a little more like that. I think getting Harry back off IR, that's going to help some, but they're going to have to develop that rapport quickly. And, you know, they've done a pretty good job of running the ball in unique and creative ways, and they're going to have to find a way to continue to do that to take pressure off of their defense, which is really good, but they're at their best when they're not on the field a lot.
You're listening to Taz the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Our special guest right now is Bobby Carpenter, NFL analyst, seven-year NFL linebacker. Bobby, so, last night, Philip Rivers, they're playing down in Mexico, the Chargers and the Chiefs. I got to ask you, man, point blank, do you think Rivers is the QB of the Chargers next year?
So he's a free agent, and with kind of how he's playing now, it doesn't look like it. You know, he still is capable of making those great throws. You saw the deep ball to Mike Williams that he drops in the bucket from 40 yards away, but, you know, he's missed a lot of throws. He was never a great athlete to begin with, but he's even less mobile now than he was. You know, heck, he's like 37, 38 years old. And they have a really young roster. Like, they have young wide receivers. They've got a pretty young defense. They've got some young, talented running backs. And I don't know if you want, like, a full reset, but you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do at that position, because as good as he's been for as long as he has, like, I think his best days now are obviously behind him, and you're going to be moving, into a new stadium in L.A., and you're going to have to try to garner some attention and make sure that you're getting fans showing up, because that's also another big problem for the Chargers.
No, it certainly is. Bobby, when you look at the NFC right now, obviously you got the Packers with 8 wins, the Vikings with 8, the Saints with 8, the 49ers with 9, the Seahawks with 8. A lot of quality at the top. It's a wide-open NFC. But, Bobby, if we asked you here on this Tuesday morning, which team do you think ends up being the last team standing in the NFC? Which team right now would you get behind?
I think the Saints are the most complete team top to bottom. They've been able to run the ball pretty well. They were able to tread water without Drew Brees. Their defense is really good at all three levels, so they can defend people. The question becomes, if they don't get home field advantage, I worry a little bit about them going outside to play late in the year. Drew's older. He had the thumb injury, grip on the football. His arm was never the strongest. And as you get older, it just kind of, wears down throughout the course of the season. We saw that a little bit last year. I still think they're the best. I think they have the best offensive mind in the NFC and Sean Payton and what he's able to do. They're a very complete team, but they're going to need home field advantage, in my opinion, if they're going to try to make a Super Bowl run.
Hey, Bobby, so the whole thing with Garrett and Mason Rudolph and the helmet and everything, and all the fight and all that jazz, are you surprised that Mason Rudolph didn't get any games?
Not really. I think both guys probably had comparable suspensions. Had Garrett not swung the helmet and hit him, and that's like a big if
right in
that situation. But what he did was so egregious, I think that it overshadowed the fact at the beginning of the play, Mason Rudolph is frustrated because he threw 4 picks. Like, usually the guy that has the outburst is the guy that struggled all day, which was Mason Rudolph. He threw 4 interceptions. He wasn't happy about getting thrown to the ground at the end. And the arguments, well, why is Garrett sacking him? Well, why are you throwing a screen with 10 seconds left when you're down by 14 points?
Right.
It goes both ways on that. Just run the draw, get out of the game. But Mason Rudolph charges back into the fray. And so I think if, Garrett drops the helmet and they kind of scuff a little bit, both guys probably get, fairly equal fines. But it's the fact that the helmet overshadows everything at that point. And, then obviously there's Pouncey, there's Ogunjobi. There's a lot of other factors that go into it. And then, he's more the I don't want to call him the victim. He instigated a little bit, but he's the guy that obviously, when you look at the threshold of everything that happened, he's by far at the bottom with what he did.
We were talking about a little bit earlier about Carolina and the Panthers, their owner coming out. And he said not necessarily Cam Newton's days in Carolina are done, Bobby. Do you think Newton as a Panther is done?
It kind of depends how the season turns out. They were looking really good for a while without him. They've struggled a little bit. Allen hasn't been quite as good lately. But you have to also look, they're maybe 2 or 3 inches away of having a chance for a 2-point conversion last week to go to overtime with Green Bay. And that may have completely changed the narrative, should they win that game. And so, also, they're probably going to want to see how Cam Newton responds. It's tough. When you're staring at 30 years old, you're an explosive athlete like Cam is at his size, and you have a Liz Frank injury in your foot, that's been career-ending for guys. And not to say that it will be for him, but I don't know if we'll ever see Cam Newton at that elite explosive level like he was early in his career. So that's something they're going to have to kind of navigate through, through the next couple months. It wouldn't shock me if he's not there. I don't know if they'd be able to get much in the trade market for him, but I could also see if there's a quarterback that falls to their lap in the draft that, maybe it's time to move forward. Or even if Allen continues to progress and he has them in the thick of the playoff hunt come Christmas.
Hey, Bobby, we appreciate the time this morning. We do. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and thanks again, man.
Bobby, thanks, man.
Hey, thanks, Taz. Thanks, Moose. Appreciate it, guys.
You got it. Bobby Carpenter, NFL analyst, 7-year NFL vet. great, all-time great Ohio State
Hell of a player. Man.
Oh,
God,
no doubt.
Yeah.
Dad was a player, too.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Not Giants. Where did he play?
No, he played with the Giants.
He did play with the Giants.
Yeah.
I thought it
Correct.
Was the Giants.
Yeah. There you have it. Bobby Carpenter wrapping up hour number two. We'll come back. We got the three for you. It's Taz and the Moose here on this Tuesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.